Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 3, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kasmin yuge pravritteyam sthane va kena hetuna kuta sanchodita krishna kritavan sanghita munihi. In what period and at what place was this first begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? Purport. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the special contribution of Srila Vyasadeva, there are so many inquiries by the learned Shonakamuni. It was known to them that Srila Vyasadeva had already explained the text of the Vedas in various ways up to the Mahabharata for the understanding of less intelligent women, Shudras, and fallen members of the family of twice-born men. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all of them because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. So the inquiries are very intelligent and relevant. Inquiries by the learned Shonakamuni. He's learned. Nevertheless, he's still inquiring. He knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything. No one can know everything except Krishna. No one can know everything. The symptom of a truly learned person is that he knows that he doesn't know very much. Whereas a person who's a little bit learned thinks they know a lot. One godbrother was telling me that he saw once he visited some Madhva Sampradaya sannyasi who was about 80 years old at the time and who was reputed within the Madhva community to be highly learned. Now the Madhva community, they put a lot of emphasis on learning, Shastric knowledge. So if he was known as learned within their community, then we can understand that he was actually very learned. But this godbrother of mine, Basu Ghosh Prabhu, came upon him studying the Nyai Sudha, which is a book that all the Madhvas are supposed to know. So he must have been trained in this since his childhood, but still he was reading it because there's always more to learn. Even from the same text, these transcendental literatures, if we read them again and again, we can learn more and more. Even if we memorize all the verses and even all the translations, it's still, learning is not just a matter of amassing information, but the realization, the ability to, or the given ability that's given by the Supreme Lord, is Paramatma within the heart, the ability to link together all these pieces of information and understand the connections between them with reference to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is realization, and there's no end to it because Krishna's glories are unlimited. So Shonak Muni was learned. He was the head of, or the spokesman of the sages, 60,000 sages, assembled at Naimisharanya. They were all learned, but still there was more to learn. He learned a lot. He's inquiring from Suta Goswami. Prior to speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami had spoken to the assembled rishis, the whole all the Puranas, they were performing a sacrifice. And what's done at sacrifices, they were performing what they proposed to be a 1,000-year sacrifice. So it doesn't mean that they go on day and night, but they perform usually morning and afternoon. And in the in-between times, they'd spend time listening to the Puranas. So in the course of their performing the same, in the course of time, Suta Goswami had spoken to them all the Puranas, and after all of that, after some the sacrifice had been, there must have been many days into the sacrifice, and they were asking, well, actually, they were expressing their doubt that, is this sacrifice actually going to be of any use? We're finding that our faces become black from the smoke, but will this actually bring in auspiciousness for Kali Yuga? So they asked. They asked then that, what can actually benefit all beings at all times, and especially in this Kali Yuga, which was just the right cue for Suta Goswami to speak this topmost knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. But before hearing it, Shonak Rishi was asking that, well, why did he, what was it that inspired him to write this? He'd already written so many. Vyasadev had written or compiled so many literatures, a huge amount of literature. So, and it was all, it's all relevant to human society. Of course, we'll find Narad Muni is about to appear within the pages of Bhagavatam, and he chastises Vyasadeva for presenting knowledge which, without directly presenting the goal of all knowledge, Sri Krishna. But nevertheless, so from the absolute perspective, the Vedic literature without Srimad Bhagavatam is incomplete. But actually all of it is very valuable for human society. Even that which is karma, giving karma kanda, or jnana kanda, it's all meant for the uplift of human society. So it's all profound. It's not some. It's not like the cartoon books you can buy, or there are so many novels. This is in the modern age. There are so many novels, and they're being written, and people get prizes for writing novels. What's that called? Pulitzer? No, I think Pulitzer is for non-fiction. Anyway, I can't remember. But there's prizes are given for the best novel, and in the university they analyze different novels. You did that? Which novels?
Gatsby.
Hmm?
Gatsby.
Gatsby. What's that about? Is that a name of a writer or a book?
Name of the book.
Charles Dickens. Yeah, I heard it before. At school, we had to go through Pride and Prejudice by some woman writer. I can't remember the name. And then Shakespeare and Canterbury Tales, all novels, stories. So it's just meaningless. Well, they have some insights into human nature, but it doesn't really lead us anywhere. In my youth, I was a fan of Steinbeck. I used to read Steinbeck short stories. I used to read so many things. I thought, well, what's the use? They're all pointing out the problems in human society, but they don't have any solution, so what's the use? So then I decided to stop reading books. What's the use? They can't help me. They just make me more confused. Already confused. The writer, they write in such a way as if they know what's going on. And they do know to some extent. They can see. They have some insights into human nature. But ultimately, they're just leading us round and round in the maze. They can say, yes, yes, come this way. I'll show you. Yes, yes, you can come here. But then you end up, you're still in the maze. You don't really go anywhere. Maybe you know your way around a little bit, but you don't know the way out. So what's the use? So Vedic literature is not so foolish as to simply present some stories or some report. We have here these learned philosophers have written, and they're analyzing different, what is it called, the role of civil
religion,
the role of civic religions in emerging Thai civil society. So they have some insights, all from different perspectives. But the contributors to this journal. But Nate Vidu Swartha Gating Hi Vishnu Durashaye Bahirata Marina Tipisha Tantra Murudam Nibandha Andhaya Tandai Rupaniyamanas Tipisha Tantra Murudam Nibandha. Prahlad Maharaj has given his analysis. This is his insight from the transcendental perspective, that they do not know that the real goal is Vishnu. Their real self-interest is in serving Vishnu. Therefore, they are simply hoping for a better world, brave new world, new world order. We've heard all these slogans. You've heard this Brave New World. That was a famous book by Aldous Huxley. But I think it ended up in pessimism also. There's some idealistic society. Ended up in a New World Order. This is something said by the senior President Bush. So for all their slogans, after World War I, they made the League of Nations to stop all wars. And in about 25 years, let's see, 20 years, they had an even bigger war. And then after that, they made the United Nations, which, like some kind of, it's like a kind of circus, what do they call that, in the ring, the one in the middle of the ring, the circus, he's trying to control everything, but it's out of control. So it's all out of control. So while they talk of peace and new world order and better future, meanwhile birth, death, old age and disease continues. So the Vedic literature is given by Bhagavan, Vede Sakshat Narayana, comes directly from Narayana, and is meant for the uplift of human society. Whereas Durashaye Bahirata Marnina, they do not know what their swartha, they do not know what their real self-interest is. So they pursue goals which are actually extrinsic to their real self-interest. This is what's going on. Then, they're simply the blind following the blind. They have these people giving their ideas how to make society better. But they don't know. They can only speculate. They're like, they think they're free. Thailand means the land of the free. But we're all bound up with very strong ropes. So the Vedic literature is different. It's meant for the uplift of human society. Even the lower levels, they are profound. So Shonak Rishi was inquiring that we are already, Vyasadeva has given so many good literatures, which we've had the good fortune of hearing over the last few months, it must have been, from Suta Goswami. So what is this? What is this Srimad Bhagavatam? This is supposed to be something better. How good must it be? And actually Srimad Bhagavatam is so good that even the so beneficial for human society that even the lesser Vedic literatures, they, in Narad Muni's terms, jugupsitam, they are considered abominable compared to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which makes it seem all the more astonishing how Vyasadeva, after compiling all the Vedic literature with the purpose of leading people to the highest truth, had not got the inspiration to compile this literature. It didn't happen. It didn't just happen automatically. Actually, the real literature that he has to present is Srimad Bhagavatam. And even if all the other literatures were thrown out and taken out of human society, Srimad Bhagavatam is the literature that is the important literature. The others, in comparison, they're only meant for preparing us or bringing us to Srimad Bhagavatam. If we come directly to Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't even need all these literatures. So it's astonishing that Vyasadeva didn't himself compile this. Of course, that instruction to compile it was given to him by Srila Narad Muni, acting as his guru, which helps to, yet again, it's one of many, many, many incidents related in the Vedic literature which show that to illuminate our path back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna, we need guru to give the right direction. Srila Prabhupada himself said that he was born in a family of pure devotees. He was raised in pure devotion. But he said, actually my father taught me everything about how to perform bhakti. But the special thing he got from his Guru Maharaj was book production and distribution. So the general foundation was given by his father. Especially his father. He doesn't mention his mother so much. His mother died young. But especially he mentions his father, who we don't get any indication that his father was highly learned, but he was a pure devotee. He was performing puja and he guided his son to be a devotee. He was training his son, Abhay. He brought a mridanga teacher so he can learn to play mridanga. He gave him the basic understanding, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Not to worship different demigods. Abhay grew up without confusion about who the Supreme Truth is. He knew that clearly. His father was very clear on this point. But further inspiration and understanding came from contact with his eternal Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Prabhupada in his Grihastha life was in Prayagraj, Allahabad, one time he invited the Gauriamat sannyasis to his home to have a program inviting people, what we call nowadays a house program. That means kirtan, lecture. Actually, I believe usually they begin with a lecture, and kirtan would be at the end. So his father was living with him. His father was very old at that time. And his father had always been very open to sadhus, even the bogus sadhus. But he used to invite every day, as a matter of duty, as a matter of culture, some sadhu should come to his home, four or five every day. That's quite a big thing to do, isn't it? Invite four or five people every day. And for those who wanted it, he would offer them ganja. That was, still is, very common in India. Sadhus take ganja. Not pure Vaishnavas, but we find Shaivas, Shaiva sadhus, Shaiva babas. You know, you're from Nepal. It's the land of babas and ganja. And many Ramanandi sadhus, they also take ganja. It's supposed to help meditation, so we're told. I haven't tried, but we're told like that. Even in Vrindavan, you'll see, pushing the trolleys on the street, they're selling bhang kulfi. So, you can get banged out. There's bhang, an indigenous form of marijuana. And very cheap also, I see, they used to sell. The bhang kulfi they used to sell for 25 paisa. Now, that was a long time ago. Now it must be 5 rupees or something like that. It's cheap. It grows everywhere. So, Prabhupada's father was very liberal towards sadhus. Even they were not very bona fide. But he would invite and ask them to give blessings. That let this boy, this Abhay, be a pure devotee. You give your blessings, he can be a pure devotee of Radharani. Of course, Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Radharani. So he was very open to sadhus. And Abhay in Allahabad had invited some sadhus, some sannyasis, to his home to have a program of speaking and kirtan. And he thought, well, my father will be very happy with that. But his father was not happy. His father, his vision, his eyes were not very clear. But he saw the sannyasi and he was like in a bad mood. But Abhay pleaded, please come, sadhus have come to our home, you have to come and listen to them. So in a grumpy mood, he came and sat. And then they started speaking. And after the sannyasi had started speaking for about 2-3 minutes, Abhay's father offered full obeisances and said, please forgive me for not welcoming you properly. I didn't realize you were Vaishnavas. What the thing is, they were sannyasis. And at that time, the only sannyasis in Bengal, they were Bengali sadhus, even though they were in Allahabad, were Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis. So Abhay's father, Gaur Mohan Day, he thought they were Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis. He didn't know about the Gauri Amat, which practically an imitation of the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis. They adopted sannyas. So when he saw them, he thought, oh, Ramakrishna Mission. He was very open to different bogus people, but he didn't like the Ramakrishna Mission at all. The meat-eating so-called sannyasis who denied, they concocted so many things and denied the personality of Godhead, Krishna. While pretending to accept him, this is Mayavad cheating. Yes, we're open, we accept Krishna. But they don't accept him as the supreme overlord of all that be. So they're cheaters and rascals and misleaders. So, Abhay's father was, it wasn't that he was not knowledgeable. He knew exactly what's what. Gaukishad Das Babaji Maharaj, another example. He wasn't known as a great pundit. He hadn't studied many shastras. He was reputed to be illiterate. But he knew exactly who's a devotee, who isn't, what is bhakti, what is imitation. He knew. So, Prabhupada similarly, he was given a solid background in Krishna consciousness. No mixed up nonsense, just pure Krishna consciousness. Later, by contact with his Guru Maharaj, the shastric and philosophical, logical justification for everything in Krishna consciousness was given to him. But basically he had imbibed that. We say like that, Prabhupada's of course a pure devotee. But he had imbibed that in his childhood. There are many things to learn. Shaunak Rishi is learning. He's learned, but he wants to learn more. So we should learn. Study these books. From the few words I've said today, you can also maybe learn that in due course of time, when you have children, you can remember from what has been said today that how Prabhupada raised his son and how you should do also. Raise your children to be devotees. There's this modern idea, well, you should just let children do what they like and later they can choose for themselves. Do what they like, then they won't choose for themselves. They watch TV and the TV tells, directly or indirectly, be like this, do like this, all wrong things. So, it is mistreatment of children or mistreatment of anyone, to not teach them very clearly what the goal of life is. So that's something you can remember. Of course, we have to hear again and again and again to make clear our conception and keep it clear. Anyway, there are many, many things to say, but I won't say more now. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Any question? You have to rush off, I think. Everyone's... No? All right. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.